Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. Today's conversation will be part two of our conversation with Ashley Bellamy about what motivates her to serve her community and make it better. If you missed part one last Sunday, you can visit our website, cotnaz.org, click Ministries, and click Hope Talks, and it will be July 19th program. We pray that today's conversation is a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
I love to serve other people. I have a servant heart. I wasn't born naturally that way. I don't know that any of us are, you know, but Jesus does change you. And I am a real person and with lots and lots of flaws. And yeah. I am a real person with lots and lots of flaws, but I'm called to love people. And I'm called to put Jesus first and to serve him.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm called to do.
Yep.
And for me, if I can serve somebody else, now my love language is acts of service. So sometimes that's not other people. So they're not like filled out. Like it's not Greg Bellamy's at all. I mean, he could care less about, I mean, he likes order and know all that, but I mean, if I was like, for your birthday, I cleaned your car. He'd be like, oh, thanks. Thanks. You know? But I would be appreciative. That's not everybody. For me, I love to serve other people.
Yeah.
And if I can, again, if us having a spirit night for a school helps them pay for something that they can provide for their students, then yay, we did it. Or if donating something to somebody that blessed them or what, I don't know. I mean, we made their life better. And I love that part of it.
Yeah.
But it's not about, I do things and I really expect nothing in return, to be honest. And I worked at Chick-fil-A when I was 15 and I worked in a mall store in Kingsport, Tennessee. And then when I went to college, my junior year, my dad bought me a car. It was amazing. I think it cost $2,000. And it was a Mazda 626. It had a lot of miles on it, but it
would run.
And so I was able to get moved to the Chick-fil-A in Johnson City.
Oh, okay.
And I worked there. We were still in the mall. There was no freestanders at the time. And the man that I worked for, the operator that I worked for, his name's Tim. And he is an amazing human. And besides my dad and Greg B., I mean, he ranks right up there. I really, really admire him, and he taught me a lot of stuff. But when I became an operator, he said, Ashley, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. And he said, one, don't put your faith in people, because they'll let you down every time.
True.
And basically what he's saying is sometimes they mean to. They do it on purpose. Sometimes they don't.
Right.
But because we're human, going to let us, you know.
Right.
And he said, and the other thing, he said, you do things for others and expect absolutely nothing in return. And basically was saying that if you do that, then you're never disappointed, you know? And so that has always really stuck with me. And so I love to serve other people. I don't want anything back from you. You know, I don't even need a pat on the back.
Yeah.
And that's why when they said, hey, you were the community champion of the year for 2025, I was like, what? You know, I mean, I'm just out here living my life, doing only thing I know how to do and what I feel like I was born to do. And I didn't think it was anything special, but somebody did.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But it wasn't just me. I mean, I have a whole team of people at Chick-fil-A that we are trying to train to in Chick-fil-A ways, but to embody this and embrace this. And I always say, I can teach you anything at Chick-fil-A. I can teach you how to make waffle fries and salt them. And I can teach you how to make a salad. I can teach you to take an order. I can teach you anything. But I can't teach people how to be kind to others or how to have a servant heart. You got to kind of already know that. that. And so the interview questions we ask are kind of around that. Yeah. We get it right a lot of the time, but sometimes we've gotten it wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which happens, or they decide, these people are a little much for me.
Yeah, they really meant it when they said
they
it, right?
Really meant it when they said I had to be nice. So, but I don't know. But Harrisonburg is just, it's a good place to live. And so Chick-fil-A has given me the opportunity and the platform to do things, but the way that the people of Harrisonburg support Chick-fil-A and then supported Isaiah House and then support, I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the kindness that has overflowed, even, you know, with building that house too. I mean, the things that people donate, the time people donated, or the, hey, we'll give you these materials at cost and we'll donate the labor to put your house together. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. And yeah. So all for, you know, the kids that are in foster care that deserve that.
There are people in this community that have embraced the foster care system, but I think this piece of Isaiah 117, for anyone that's not listening, you might want to just a quick blurb of what is that?
Yeah.
Because these kids that have had to stay in an office overnight at the
CPS
or whatever now have this home that they'll be able to go into.
Mm-hmm. We had Jenny on recently.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She is an amazing human that is leading the charge. She's the location leader for Isaiah 117 House. And I had told them, I'll be your volunteer expansion coordinator. And I will talk about this as long as somebody will let me. But I'm not quitting my day job to come work at Isaiah 117. Maybe when I retire, I will. But I'm not going to be the location leader. I had told them that up front. I'm going to volunteer my time and I will until you find somebody, but we will find somebody. Yeah. And we did. And
oh, my gosh.
She's amazing.
What a winner.
The Isaiah 117 House is going to fill the gap of removal of a child from their home and placement into foster care. So instead of going to the CPS office to wait or going to somewhere to wait, they will come to our house.
Yeah.
And we will take care of them. And while the CPS worker finds the best placement for them, the CPS worker will be there with us, with the volunteers and the child while they're being able to do their paperwork, and they won't have to worry about caring for the child at all.
Yeah. So say someone's listening and they're like, well, I didn't have the skills to help build, but I'd love to be a volunteer.
Oh, we need a lot of volunteers.
I know you do. And I know that we talked about it the other day, but I want to just, again, because someone might be listening today that wasn't listening before. So how can they get involved? What do they need to do? Just like, what are the things that they would need to do to become, because you cannot just walk in there and be a volunteer.
Yeah, there's
some
training.
Background checks and there's training. And
yeah,
there's
for sure. So we have a lot of different opportunities. You can go to Isaiah117house.com, and that's the national website. Then what you have to do is click locations and then find Rockingham County, and everything right there is specific to us. And it will say, I forget what all it says, but it takes you to a link tree and you can sign up to give monthly. Which is called a sock buddy. But then there are volunteer opportunities of all kinds. To work with the children or work in the house, you will have to be vetted and background check. I'm pretty sure got to be 21, not just 18. But then also, there's all kinds of, if you just say, oh, that will make me sad. I don't want to be a caregiver for a child. Then you can help us organize the giving room, because every child that comes there will end up having taken home some new pajamas and some new clothes and something special, and all things in the giving room are new. And so we will have to organize that. We'll need people to help us clean the house. We'll need people to help us stock the pantry. And so we have bin buddies. Bin buddies will fill a bin with toddler boy socks. Fill that bin with socks. We'll let you know when for a year.
Right.
We'll let you know when it's over. And then that, you know, when it's empty and you can fill it up again. So we have very specific things for our bins. And then a pantry. I don't know if Jenny Lott, I'm not in charge anymore. And I am the leader of the LAT, which is the leadership advisory team, which I'm very thankful that they picked me. But I'm glad. I mean, who else would do that? I don't know. So I come up with all these little catchy names. So to stock the pantry, you know, we'll need tea and coffee and, you know, for CBS workers, cookies, whatever. I like to call that Pantry Pals because it's cute.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and then we're going to need some freezer meals because we want to send the foster parents home with freezer meals. So how about freezer friends? Isn't that sweet? I just
I can't stop.
We got Ben Buddies and so and you'd be shocked too. I think we're gonna try to put some birthday baskets together because you'd be shocked how many kids might be removed on their birthday or around their birthday. So we won't be prepared, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so we're gonna make a cake and we're gonna have a party. And also, we're going to read the room. So if we need to sit and cry with the child, we're going to do that too, you know, whatever they want. But there, so all that is going to be on the website, but you got to click Rockingham, Virginia.
Yes.
So, and then you can see all the locations on there as well. But also news, Roanoke has been approved for expansion.
That's so cool.
They're going to have their kickoff and then start raising awareness. And I think that's really amazing, too.
That is
really that's close, right down the road. Before we open our doors, we got to have a whole year's budget in the bank.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, just because we don't want to get behind. So then you've raised your 1 year's budget, you're good, and then everything. Right. So you, basically, you're a year ahead.
Yeah. You know? That's really,
And so, so I think there's a lot of opportunities, not just to work with children. I mean, you don't even...
The yard,
the bin buddy. I mean, you don't have to fill out a volunteer form to get a bin.
Absolutely.
The other thing, too, is that we put out there is we really try to love on CPS workers once a month.
So important.
And, I mean, just to basically say, hey, we see you. We know what you're doing. Y'all, their job is so hard.
It is.
It is taxing and it's hard. So a lot of people have signed up to do that.
That is wonderful.
I know. And so Isaiah, we'll do it as well when they come to the house. And then, of course, we'll pick a month probably. But, like Sunday school classes and stuff have said, hey, we'll do that. And then are signing up for a month to get to go love on them.
Oh, I love
that. So I love that part, too.
I need to hear more about that.
But there's a lot of different opportunities, not just working with children. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that... I think for some people that would be really hard. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can't wait. And I know it's going to be hard and it's unexpected, but there is nothing I want to do more than play with a kid. I love that. I love kids. I would have had a whole bunch of them, but it just didn't work out that way. And one day I hope to be a grandma, you know. And
that
you,
is awesome.
You want to hear my grandma name? I already have it.
What is it?
I want it to be Bootsy. That is so fitting, isn't it?
Bootsy's friend.
Yeah. So I always recommend somebody have a young friend, and I do. She's 27, and she just had a little girl, and so I get to play with Miss Georgia sometimes. But and so she's been calling me Bootsy. Oh, she's only 4 months old, so she doesn't talk yet, but that's what we say. Bootsy loves you. I've been practicing. So I'm very excited to get to work with volunteer with the children that – But I'll do whatever they need me to.
I know you will because you're a team player.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
that. I'm happy to do that as well. Not to be too churchy, but this is kind of a church podcast, right?
Yeah.
But I think we can take a lot of verses out of context or whatever, but I want to just remind something that is a good one that I really like. And I read things in a lot of... different versions, you know, and it's from Galatians, and it's the Galatians 6:9, and it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And that's the English Standard Version, and I do believe in this. It is talking about persevering and doing what's right, and I don't think I'm taking that out of context. You know, you can do that sometimes. Yeah. But it encourages us to persevere and do what's right even when it's hard.
Right.
And do what's right even when we're tired.
And even though you absolutely love, love, love what you do and your community involvement, whether it's at Chick-fil-A or outside of Chick-fil-A, doesn't mean it's always easy.
Right.
It's not. It doesn't mean you always want to do it.
Right.
You know, I've done a lot of things I don't want to do. It, you know, and it does say, it says in the Bible, you'll reap it.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom used to always go, you'll reap what you sow. And most of the time she was telling me that because I was naughty or something. Yep. But
I heard it too.
It's that goes both ways.
It does go both ways. And you might not always see it. And you might not always know the impact that you made on somebody either.
Oh, I think.
You know?
Only heaven knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only heaven
but
knows.
But you could have said something to somebody, or we could have at Chick-fil-A, like talked to them or whatever. And then they left and was like, I needed that.
Oh, I think that happens so often.
Yeah, and so you might not know what you're reaping, but
you're planting seeds.
I know, and I don't really care if I ever see the reap of it. You know what I'm saying? I don't.
It comes from the heart.
It does, mm-hmm. And I just want to love people and make them better than I found them. And again, I'm a flawed person. That's all that, but I might be the only Jesus somebody sees.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. So that's right. I try most of the time to be on my game.
Yeah.
But that's an important message for all of us as believers.
You know, and even get churchy on you for a little bit. Like you
can get churchy. I came to church here a couple Sundays ago. I'll be back. I was out of town this week.
I think that no matter what organization, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a business, whether it's church, there's always when someone says, hey, God has called me in a different direction or whatever that might be, we can tend to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best thing in the world is to be able to bless people, to say, I bless you to do what God's calling you to do.
Yeah.
And when they walk out the door from that conversation, I know that your heart is this and I know my heart is this, that they would leave a better person. You said that earlier, that we pour into people, but we cannot expect everybody to love what we love.
Sure.
Yeah. God does call us, like this church, for example, over the years, people will come here where they may have had a very busy church life. They may have led worship. They may have whatever. They just were tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I have watched over the years that I've been here, people come here and they rest and then God calls them back out. Mm-hmm. And that is beautiful that God would allow us to minister to them while they rest.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that today, like you've said it so beautifully. Hey, we don't have any idea what people are going through, whether it's church where you work, whether it's nonprofit, your school, whatever it is. And the ministry of presence, just being able to not be worried about tomorrow or worried about yesterday, but to be able to live in the moment and just see who's in front of us. That's a gift. And you know, I know that you don't need the accolades, but you've done it well. And it's not only helped Chick-fil-A, but it has changed our community.
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
Yeah. And as our people, I think about their... I've had some really, really special team members in the past. And I think about, you know, them being there for a season and then leaving. And there's been three times. I don't cry very much ever. I just don't. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, so I'm a Gen X kid, so we tough, you know.
That's right.
But I've had, there were three girls that worked on my leadership team. And one left to go work for a college that's near here that's purple and gold. And I loved her. I still do. I mean, we still keep in touch. But when she left, she came and told me, and I was like, you go live your dream. You do that. Yeah. But when we sat down to like recap, I cried. And I said, I'm so happy for you, but I just got to cry a second, you know? And then there was another, and she left us to have her third baby, met her husband there. She was a timid, single, young mama and left me and to be a mama, you know, full time. Mm-hmm. And her departure was precious and sweet, and she was like, thank you for giving me a chance, you know. And now she has started her own little business, and I'm so proud of her. And then the latest one left me last summer to be a mama too. And an amazing human, and she has started her own business.
Oh, wow. You've
and I'm so proud of her, too. And so I always say, I hope that if you've worked with us, that you, and it's not your dream anymore, and you're going to live your dream, that you've got the confidence to do that.
Yeah.
And then you've got the confidence to stand up for yourself. Because I teach them that, too, because we're going to hold people accountable at Chick-fil-A. Yeah. And so we're going to, if we see something, we're going to say something, and we're not going to make it a big deal, because everything doesn't have to be a confrontation, but we're going to talk this out and figure it out. And so I love that, because people are with us this season.
Well, you're training future leaders.
Well, I hope
and
so.
I think of something my dad said one time in the church context, that we want to be known by our sending capacity, not by our seating capacity.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like it. I love to talk about Chick-fil-A. I love to talk about leadership. I love to talk about our community. I love to talk about Isaiah House. I like to talk about Jesus too. Yeah. But I feel so thankful that Chick-fil-A picked me 25 years ago to be an operator. I mean, the rumor was that year, it would have been 2001 is when I became an operator. Mm-hmm. So I started talking to them in 1999, or maybe it was 2000. Mm-hmm. And then 2001 became an operator. But that year, in 2001, they picked 80 operators to put in stores. Mm-hmm. And they had over 80,000 applications.
Wow. Yeah. What?
Uh-huh. Is that crazy?
Wild.
So to me, Chick-fil-A has been a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, now, sometimes I wanted to light that gift on fire, but it has been a gift, and it's what I did with it that mattered. And I wanted it to matter.
Yeah.
You know, not just to be lip service or not to be, but really, hey, I'm going to live this. And so to me, it's always been a gift, and I am just grateful. I'm humbled. I'm grateful. I'm just all the things. And I hope that when I retire one day, that people will remember, whoever takes the Chick-fil-A over, that we'll have left a legacy there as well for them to follow. But I just feel appreciative. And this community, it's easy to help this community.
It really
is. I think.
Yes,
it's easy to try to be involved in things. And it's easy to, it was easy for me to beg to get to bring Isaiah House here. Because I knew that we need every county needs it. Right. I mean, so or every city, everything, everybody needs it. But it was easy for me to do that because I do. You know, Harrisonburg is. I have lived in Harrisonburg almost longer than I lived in Tennessee.
Wow!
So I lived in Tennessee until I was 24. Now I've lived in Virginia for 25 years. So I've actually lived in Virginia longer than I lived in Tennessee because that's where I grew up. Yeah. But I mean, in 4 more years, I will have lived the same time. So I feel like this is home.
Yeah.
You know, my hometown, even though it's really not. Yeah. Tennessee is my hometown. But it's been easy for me to try to love on this community and try to keep doing that. And
it's a very giving community, for sure.
It's kind people. I always say in Tennessee they grow good people, but I think they grow good people in Virginia too.
That's right.
So. Yeah. That's
exactly. And then that. South Carolina was the other place we lived, and I really loved.
Yeah,
I love that too. But it's been easy to serve this community. Yeah. And did I know that 20 years ago when we moved here? No. I thought this was the coldest place I had ever been. It was December 1st, 2005 when we moved here. It snowed. It was freezing. I wore a scarf in my house because we didn't have enough furniture to furnish the rooms in our house. And that December, Santa Claus brought Ellie Grace a bike, a Cinderella bike. Well, she got to ride it around our house because we don't have any furniture. So she could ride it inside. And then Santa brought him a basketball hoop, and then he could just run back and forth because we didn't have any furniture. But because you don't have any furniture and not much rugs, it's freezing. So I thought, where have I moved? This is so cold. And just a lot of different things there. But I didn't know at the time what a blessing here would be.
Yeah.
You know, I knew we were getting ready to venture into a super great opportunity, and I was so excited about that, but I didn't I didn't know what was in store for us. Yeah. And so I feel super thankful. I'll never forget, you know, where I came from, which was hard. It was hard. It was hard. Right. And then where we've come, where there's a line out to the road or there's, a, you know, I just, sometimes I just drive up to that place and I'm just like, I'm just thankful.
Yeah.
Just pure thankfulness and gratefulness and grateful for the people that choose to work with us and that, and I mean, some of them been with me a really long time, you know? And so we used to call it family, but we kind of call it community now because you can't really get rid of your family, you know? And so in community, people move in and out, you know, and that's what happens in our place. So we try to build a good community there. Yeah. But.
And family is not always, some people don't have those close family relationships and don't understand.
Yeah. So they can understand community. I mean, people, they're there for a season sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, we've had a lot of really special people that were in maybe grad school at JMU and they worked for us for a season and they went off to go live their dream. We knew that was going to happen. We loved them, you know? And so I hope that we've made a positive impact on, you know, I hope we do it on our customers. I hope for our team members and our leaders and everybody that we come in contact with. And then the community is just special to us. Yeah. So
That's good.
Yeah. Ashley, it's been great to have you today. Just anything else that you want to share that you haven't shared already, that we haven't asked you already? And also we call this program Hope Talk. So I think you've already answered that question, but hope, what does that mean to you?
Hope. Well, in that, the things that we believe in, but we can't really see. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I think that I've listened to this podcast on several occasions and it gives people a lot of hope. There's always hope out there, you know? And I think that just, I would encourage people, if you feel like you're floundering a little bit and you're not sure, then try to serve somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're all so selfish.
Good. That's so good.
And we want to serve our own selves and I don't know if serving somebody else will give you as much joy as it does me. I mean, I just really like to. I can't help myself. I'll go somewhere and clean up people's plates. I can't help it. I just want to help somebody. Yeah. And so I just want to encourage that if you're in it stuck in a place where, then go serve somebody else.
Yeah.
Go do something meaningful. Don't just sit and wallow in your sadness.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we do that or we, it's the same thing every day. Well, we can say that, but then you're choosing your own attitude for it to be the same thing every
That's
day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just would encourage somebody to serve somebody else. Serve
attitude
somebody in
of
your family.
Gratitude.
Yeah. Serve somebody in your family. Do something for, you know, I think a lot of times we just get all hung up on. I'll give you an example, okay? And I'm not trying to throw Greg B. under the bus because he is probably as close to perfect as you can get. I mean, I really, really love him. And I really like him too. But one thing he does is he leaves his shoes out in the middle of the floor. And I've tripped over him more than once. Sometimes he'll take his socks off and just throw them in the floor, you know? And so there are a lot of times that I will pick up his shoes and take him to his closet. And you know what? I could probably get irritated about that sometimes because he's older than me and he should know how to pick up his shoes, right? But you know what? I always look at it and I'm not blowing smoke, okay? I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. I always look at it as at least I got somebody to pick their shoes up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And the same with laundry. At least I got somebody to fold their laundry. And now I just put it in his closet and he puts it in his drawers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very appreciative of that because, as we know, my love language is acts of service, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just glad that I've got somebody that I can do that for.
Yeah.
And the same thing with my kids. I will think sometimes Ellie Grace will say, "Hey, Mama, will you come help me do something?" And sometimes I don't necessarily want to. And sometimes I know that she, "Hey, Mama, come help me," means, "Hey, will you do this for me while I sit on the couch?" But I'm glad I've got somebody to do that for. Yeah. And so I think sometimes if we can change our thinking, that this is a long answer to your hope question. If we can change our thinking and choose our attitude, then that goes a long way.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good.
That's good. Ashley, thank you for joining us today on Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
It's my pleasure. See what I did there.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked with Ashley Bellamy today about what inspires her to serve her community, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.